What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. My name is Eric.
And I'm Aaron.
And we are happy to be bringing you a Japan Top 10 Cultures. Japan Top 10. Now, Japan Top 10 Cultures will feature a broad, culturally based Japanese theme in which we, as your hosts, will revolve a discussion based around said theme, continuing our mission of providing educational, entertaining, and hopefully insightful information to you, the listeners. The music that we will be featuring today will center around that theme, and these episodes will be a little different from our usual episodes, focusing more on commentary rather than our usual format of covering music. However, we will still continue to feature some music in these episodes to help round out the theme, so it isn't just us yikking and yakking.
Of course. And in this lovely episode we have here today, we're going to be discussing some of the music trends that were defined by this decade, so starting from 2010. From anime anthems to poppy idol tunes, we'll be discussing what makes these trends so prominent and what artists were at the forefront of these movements.
The first thing we'll be talking about today is anime. Yes, anime. It has been around for a hot second, but the 2010s gave way to popular anime songs that made their way onto Oricon charts and helped artists get their names out into the world.
That's right.
That is exactly right. Anime music isn't necessarily a new trend, but it was heightened in the 2010s due to international audiences, overall appeal, and its interactive possibilities. Now, I remember when I first got into J-pop music, it was through the animes that I was watching.
Same here, yeah. I definitely got into J-pop and just the sound of Japanese music because I was watching Inuyasha, and I was like, these songs are so pretty.
Why can't my usual songs be this pretty?
Why doesn't Green Day sing in, Asian pentatonic scales?
I remember the first one I got into was Lark and Seal. I hope I said that correctly.
Lark and Seal. Arc and Seal?
It's French and I will not be held accountable.
Yeah, Arc and Seal, Rainbow.
It is from the first Full Metal Alchemist series, not Brotherhood, but the original. And it was Ready, Steady, Go, and I was like, what? This is catchy. And then I listened to things like FLCL with the Pillows doing the entire show's music, and it just opened the floodgates for listening to new J-rock and J-pop music for me.
I mean, that's a great way to get introduced, for sure.
And with the popularity of short video social platforms like Vine, RIP, and TikTok, prominent social media platforms like Instagram and Twitter, dance memes have skyrocketed into popularity within Japan and the international markets.
Does anybody remember learning the entirety to the Haruhi Suzumiya dance? I do, and it was an embarrassing time of my life.
Yes, a couple of months ago was really rough for everyone.
Don't call me out like this, Eric.
I remember when the Gin Hoshino song took off, everyone was doing the dance.
Oh, yeah.
But that choreography for his videos is always so, so good and amazing. I even showed it to people who I work with who have no background knowledge of any Japanese music. And they're like, this dancing is so fun and amazing.
And then they came to work the next day and they were like, Eric, look. they just danced it for you.
It was uncut. It was crazy. Everyone who worked there was silent for 4 minutes. There was no music. It was one of the most amazing pieces of art I've ever seen.
Oh, man. I wish you got a video of that and put it on Vine.
I put it on Vine, then it turned out Vine's not a thing anymore.
Oh, no. The tragedy.
Now, trending idol group-like performances that people can dance to has transcended the anime world alone and has become a big part of online culture.
That's true. We were just talking about that.
We were indeed. Now, animes that included heavily choreographed song and dance routines or shows like The Idol Master, Love Live, and Gamono, Friends. Now, I looked up The Idol Master, and they used the term media franchise, mm-hmm. and it really, really means a lot for this because it's like video game and anime, and there's even a South Korean drama, and there's audio dramas.
Yep. And they do like live performances, and it's amazing. Like Idolmaster and Love Live, they both go so hard.
The live performances are amazing.
I believe
that the idol industry has single-handedly saved the glow stick industry from from failing time and time again. It's amazing.
It is.
It's not even just learning the dance routines, and I'm sure every idol fan is going, of course, but learning not even the dance routines of the idols themselves, but the choreography of the fans.
Yeah, there's fan chants and everything that you will sing at certain parts of a certain song to like round it out and put like crowd participation, and it's totally amazing. And I don't know how these people make them up and learn them, but I'm pretty sure there's probably like a Facebook group.
I assumed it was all improvised.
Oh, I thought it was all.
But now that you say there's probably like a Facebook group or fan pages, I feel like that's probably the way they do it.
Please let us know if we're wrong, but I think that might be what it is because I have a friend who is totally into that and he was in a Facebook group. So let us know.
Now, music-based animes have also become popular. Animes like, Aaron?
K-On!
And they had a soundtrack that broke onto the mainstream charts.
It did indeed. It came over here to America and Canada, and I lost my mind because I was like, oh, cute girls doing cute things. Wait a minute. Is that one holding a guitar? Music? Dope! And
take all of my money.
Yeah, I bought all the manga, even the ones where they went off to college. It was great. They literally took all my money. I learned like all of the songs on the guitar as soon as I could with my like crappy guitar skills back then. It was like the anime to end anime when I was in high school.
I never saw the series. I was always aware of it because I was a fan of music series like Beck and Nana.
Oh, yes.
That was great, yes. But I never got into K-On!, which is weird because I believe they're done by Funimation, which was based out of... Nope. Ah, I was wrong.
KyoAni.
Then I believe nothing.
Our first song, fittingly enough, for our countdown is by Hokago Tea Time, and it's No Thank You from 2010.
Don't bother.
Thank You was the second ending theme for the second season of K-On!, and the song, I actually didn't know this, is an acronym for the characters' names. Tai Nakaritsu, Hirasawa Yui, Akiyama Mio, Nakano Azusa, and Kotobuki Tsumugi.
Now can you say that all five times fast?
No, I cannot.
K-On! Excels in the music scene because it has a storyline that primarily focuses on music and makes it a priority to incorporate music throughout the show, while also including songs for the opening and ending themes that became popular. And I feel like now correct me if I'm wrong, the style of music that this is kind of reminiscent of the style of the band within the show, right?
Yeah, 100%. They have, like, the characters playing all the instruments and the voice actors are singing all the songs. So technically, it is, like, the band within the show.
That's pretty cool. It's a universe upon a universe. It's like Inception.
It's the Marvel universe again.
Nice. Anime is bridging the gap for fans of anime to discover Japanese music and culture, and Japanese music is more readily available for foreign audiences now more than ever before due to streaming services like Crunchyroll and Funimation and social media.
That's exactly right. I actually met a lot of new friends in college because of, like, anime music. We all kind of bonded over the music we liked, and a lot of it was anime music. And I distinctly remember when I was auditioning to get into college, I was sitting next to a guy who later became one of my best friends. And he was looking over sheet music for the bass line for one of the K-On! Songs. And I was like, oh, you seem like a cool dude.
That's amazing. Our annual listener survey is out, and we want to hear your feedback on upcoming changes to Japan Top 10, along with learning more about you, the listener. It only takes about 5 to 10 minutes to complete, and as a reward, we will select a random survey entrant to receive a free, now that's free, $50 Costco cash card or $50 Amazon gift card. And did you know you don't need a Costco membership to use the cash card? Full details on the survey are at jtop10.jp/survey. And here is Miki with this announcement in Japanese.
年に一度のアンケートの時期がやってきました。今後の変更についてご意見をお聞かせください。所要時間は5分から10分です。回答された方の中から抽選で1名様に50ドル分のコストコカードもしくは Amazon ギフトカードをプレゼント。コストコカードを使うときにコストコメンバーになる必要はございません。詳しくは Japan Top 10 ウェブサイトをご確認ください。
Moving on to our next theme for today, we have City Pop. Woo! I know a lot of people know about this because of the whole songs to chill and relax to playlist on YouTube.
I think I listen to that channel more than I actually listen to music. It's the best.
It is, and it keeps getting shut down, but whoever's in charge of it keeps putting it back up, and they're the real MVP.
They're the hero that we need right now, more than anything.
That's so true. It's the hero Gotham needs.
Exactly.
But City Pop kind of caught a lot of people off guard, but created such a big trend that it was definitely hard to ignore. The popularity of this genre in soundtracks and its ability to be very flexible in both memes and lovely jazzy Japanese hits helped create this huge genre trend.
It's a blend of a couple different genres, most prominently pop, jazz, and funk. It was popular in the 70s and 80s, but the rise in popularity now is thanks to Vaporwave, which is an experimental form of chill wave.
Yep.
So many waves.
So many waves, and all you have to do is just lay down and ride them, man.
Exactly. Now, these songs kind of make me think of a 1980s cyberpunk movie.
Yes.
It just, like, if you picture what you remember the movie Blade Runner was like, that's kind of what this music sounds like.
That's very accurate. I'd agree with you on that.
And it also reminds me of like 70s and 80s anime films like Akira.
Yep.
I was listening to it today because I was like, what is Vaporwave? What is these waves? I was an old man lost in the store and I was blown away. I was like, it's all reminiscent of something amazing, but it's all completely new and original.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes. Samples of well-known city pop songs during the 70s and 80s were being used in remixed songs online, which helped gain the genre popularity within the younger generations. And the memeing of the samples of some songs, either in a GIF or inserted in a video, helped skyrocket some of these songs into surprising popularity in the decade.
Yes, for example, there is a meme called the Awu meme, and anybody who knows what Awu is, it's just a wolf howling. But I first heard about the Awu meme because I was listening to City Pop music. And there's a song called Telephone where the girl is like, Awu 56709. And they just put like this girl from Toho Project. Her name is Momiji Inubashiri and she's a wolf girl. And it's just like a picture of her howling.
Just doing the Awu part over and over again?
Yeah, and it's a huge meme. And I don't know where else they put that meme, but I know it through that, because I was just, like, trying to show my brother this song, and that was the only version I could find. And I was like, don't worry about the anime girl, just listen to the music, because he doesn't watch anime.
The Awu part's a very small part of this, I swear.
I swear, it doesn't have anything to do with the whole thing. Just listen, please.
Now, recently, the city pop genre, more known now as the neo-city pop genre, is happening due to the changing music scene in Japan. Music is becoming more international, with outside artists being popular in Japan, as well as Japanese artists being popular internationally.
And the city pop genre is giving a platform to artists to express their emotions within a more relaxed and chill sound. Some of the artists that are breaking ground in the neo-city pop genre are Sero, Awesome City Club, Suchmos, Hitomitoi, and Yogi New Waves.
And speaking of Yogi New Waves, they're our next song!
Woo!
So to give you a little bit of city pop for your day, here's Yogi New Waves with Climax Night from 2014.
立ち色がわかるようなことを探し求め、コーラを飲み泣きじゃくった日々よ、もう終わりなの、まだ踊ってたいのに、君の中で刻むメロディー、肩抱き合い笑い合った日々よ、ああひどい
The band formed in 2013 as a four-person band freshly graduated from university. The band debuted with this single in 2014 on their four-song EP of the same name. This song, it makes me feel like I will just like put this on and play like Yakuza and just like wander the streets of the city and
yes.
like buy things at like convenience stores like, oh yes, another night in Tokyo in the 80s.
Time to just... you know, get rushed by people and beat them up in the streets.
Exactly. Now, I hopefully that's what traveling to Japan is really like, because that's what I'm preparing for.
Oh, you've just been hitting the gym in hopes that some punk's gonna come up to you and be like, hey, old man, why are you looking at me funny?
Yeah, exactly. Is that not right?
I mean, oh, no. I'm a woman, so none of that happened to me, but I guess if I was a man, they might do that.
Fair. This song speaks of the frustrations that young adults face as they make their way into the world. However, instead of approaching the song with anger or sadness, there is a unique sense of pacifism that reflects the shrug-it-off nature of Japanese youth today.
Ain't that just the case? And thanks to sharing services like YouTube and SoundCloud, like I mentioned before, artists are able to explore the genre a little bit more, and fans are left with fantastic throwbacks like Takeuchi Muria's Plastic Love, which I thought would be the song for today, but I guess it's just a little too old.
Plastic Love is it's insane. It comes up as like it will always be the second song or first song if you just search for City Pop.
Yep, and it's for good reason. It's excellent. 7 minutes with a 2 minute long opening, amazing.
I think it was actually, there's an American online publication, I don't remember what it was called, but they said that they basically wrote an article about how that album is like what should be the perfect pop album that not enough people have heard of.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. Are you a Japanese indie music artist? If you create Japanese music and you would like some exposure, please get in touch with our music director, Amanda, by sending her an email at amanda@jtop10.jp, along with the song you would like us to feature on the podcast.
This decade also saw Japanese music hitting foreign radios while being hit themselves by foreign radios.
Not literally.
Not literally. The chaos of Hallyu and Cool Japan happening simultaneously created an amazing blend of new music, artists, and collaborations that really hadn't been seen previously. The 2010s saw an even larger spike of South Korean artists specifically releasing Japanese versions of their songs in Japan.
Mm-hmm, that's still happening today.
This is known as the Hallyu Wave, or the immense popularity of South Korean culture spreading through popular culture in Japan and across the world. This started happening globally in the 2010s, starting with the release of Psy's Gangnam Style.
That's right, and history is thus repeating itself now with BTS taking over our radio stations over here.
No, it's true. I have a coworker who his sister loves BTS and is actually moving to Korea.
Whoa.
For a while because of her love of Korean pop music, and she wants to like learn more about it and teach English. And
good for her.
Yeah. And the Cool Japan program, which we talked about in previous episodes and talked a little bit about earlier, is this kind of push to represent Japan as like cool cultural things you can learn.
They're not just anime, folks. It's a cool culture with a beautiful language and very nice people.
It really is. And that, I think this kind of, even this podcast is a part of like showing off different cultural aspects of the country that you can find some sort. I'm babbling now. Wow.
It's all right.
Now, you heard me mention Cool Japan a little earlier, and you may have even heard us talk about it in a previous Cultures episode. But with international influence and intrigue happening, the push for the Cool Japan concept was encouraged. It's the idea that Japan can profit off of the country's cultural industry. That's art, music, entertainment, etc. And this is an effort to help Japan emerge as a cultural superpower.
That's right. It's not an anime superpower, or, well, I mean, it is a music superpower. But there's a lot more to every country than just the media they put out for you to enjoy.
Yeah. And this idea helped promote artists like Kiari Pamyupamyu and help them continue their own artistic ventures. And Kiari actually had a ride at Universal Studios Japan in their Universal Cool Japan event called Kiari Pamyupamyu XR Ride.
Wait, I'm sorry. Had? Please tell me it's still there because I want to go ride it.
I don't know if it's still there. I can only hope it's something like Star Tours or the Simpsons ride, and it's just like Kiari Pamyupamyu guiding you through a motion capture ride. I'm
please.
Sure you can find people on YouTube. There's a huge video kind of series of people going to the Universal Studios in Japan, going on the rides. Now, they're not exactly filming everything, but they will like tell you like, okay, so this is what it's like, this is what happens. So if you want a more clear idea of the Kiari Pamyupamyu experience, the ride, you can certainly go on YouTube and find someone to give you the lowdown.
We live in such an amazing age of technology, don't we?
We really do. I can't think of maybe the Aerosmith ride at Disney is as close as I can think of.
Another ride I have not been on, but someone must have recorded themselves on it, so I'll go look that up.
They must have. But I love the idea that a pop star can have so much influence that they give her a full ride at a major, major theme park in the country.
Well, she is a queen.
She is indeed. Now, do you think Kiari Pamyupamyu Land is going to be next to Harry Potter World Land?
Yeah, and it's going to rival Dolly World.
Good. And it's not going to make any sense, but it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be the best thing ever, and it's going to feel like you're on all the drugs at once. And speaking of the queen of J-pop herself, we have a song by Yasutaka Nakata called Crazy Crazy, featuring Charlie XCX and Kiari Pamyu Pamyu from 2017.
I had to actually look up who Charlie was. They are apparently a singer from England. But is it weird that I did know who she was, but I knew exactly who Kiari Pamyu Pamyu was?
I would say no, because I had no idea who Charlie was until you just told me, so.
The Harajuku pop princess got her start in 2009 as a fashion blogger and model for Harajuku fashion magazines.
Yep, you can still see that style and just how she dresses all the time during her performances.
I like how she isn't so much, like she's kind of aware that her singing isn't amazing. She just kind of is an all-encompassing piece of pop art. And she's very aware of it. Like she sings the way she does and she presents herself the way she does because it's all part of a theme of this look and this sound and this style. Not so much that she's like a super, you know, amazing singer-songwriter, but she's doing this to present an entire experience for her audience.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely about like her brand 100%, mm-hmm. like her look and whatever, like you said. So yeah, she's just selling an experience.
Yasutaka Nakada met Kiari during her earlier years of modeling and encouraged her to pursue a singing entertainment career as well. He's also a music producer for Perfume. The international appeal of Kiari's Harajuku-esque style and performance helped promote the idea of Cool Japan, trademark, as she collaborated with Charlie for their song Crazy Crazy, which you just heard.
Yes, indeed. Cool Japan has also helped Japanese artists expand to Western audiences, like Perfume performing at Coachella or the many international tours that artists are selling out all over the world.
I mean, even Lady Beard is coming, the wrestler, he's coming, he's coming to the local Midwest anime convention to I don't know if he's performing, but I know that they are, I don't know if they're performing, but I know that I think they might be performing maybe with Deadlift Lolita, but I'm not 100% because I know they're not a part of Lady Baby anymore.
Yeah.
But if you're in the Midwest, check it out. Just type in Lady Beard because they are amazing. I loved it. I've tried to explain what the concept is.
And it's a hard one to explain.
Yeah, about halfway through, I'm just kind of like, you know what? Just listen to it.
You know what? I sound like I'm crazy, so how about you just listen to this?
I realized I just put a string of words together.
That all makes sense individually, but not as a sentence. If you've ever thought of joining a podcast like the one you're listening to right now, you can become part of the biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast out there. To find out how, you can see our website at jtop10.jp/join for full details on what positions we have available. We are now providing monetary rewards for our staff who fulfill seniority requirements and demonstrate exemplary performance, just like Eric and I. So if you're interested, please check out our website again at jtop10.jp and join our little family.
Join our Patreon Donors Club. That's right, if you are enjoying the benefits of the episodes this month, then make sure to check it out. Starting at just $1 a month, that is $1. A dollar. Visit our website at jtop10.jp/club for more details.
So our last little topic for today has to do with idol groups versus indie/rock groups.
And it's in a Japanese death match to end all death matches.
There's featuring Lady Beard in the right corner.
There's a tank of piranhas and exploding tables.
Oh, goodness.
No, the reason why we're talking about both of these is because they go hand in hand. Without one, the success of the other might have been different. This trend also encouraged artists and listeners to branch out into other genres of music, which then allowed people to create the music that they wanted without being dictated by what was popular at the time.
It's very similar to how we have pop music here in America and Canada, and we also have our indie scene, but because of how popular pop music is, that makes the indie people, you know, create their own sound, and then we have radio stations dedicated solely to indie music, so they do go hand in hand. Without the success of the first, you can't have success of the latter, like Eric said.
Yeah, everything kind of works together in the indie scene, and the idol scene.
Yes.
While pop and rock boy groups continued from the 90s into the noughts, a newer wave of girl groups began to form, and idol groups dominated musical charts. Now, idols are typically teens and young adults who are trained and marketed to fit a certain image of attractiveness and personality, though the model for idols has been around since the 60s and 70s with the rise of pop music. Girl idol groups grew in immense popularity in the decade.
With the rise of AKB48 in 2010, I'm sure almost everyone listening knows who they are, they solidified idol groups in Japanese music. The popularity of Heavy Rotation, their 2010 single, helped to propel them into every area of media. Their following releases over the next few years continued to help them achieve record-breaking sales numbers, video views, and streams.
Now, I will say I'm not the biggest fan or have the most knowledge about idol groups. I was even taken in this decade by Baby Metal because they were so amazing. And I've heard people who I know don't even listen to other Japanese music. And they're like, Baby Metal, they're so awesome.
Yeah, Baby Metal really took North America by storm because no one saw it coming.
It's a little jarring watching their first kind of live performances because you're like, what is this?
How are they doing that?
But that's, what? It's so cool.
It is so cool, though.
And this next song, if you have never heard of AKB48, and you're like me, who may not as knowledgeable about them, this is their song, Koi Suru Fortune Cookie.
What's up, Japan? Can you hear me? Is life getting you down? No money, no job, too much bad news? Well, there's no reason to be down. It's time to get up. We have a hot new song that's from AKB48 to make you feel good. Koi Suru Fortune Cookie. So dance, Japan, crazy!
Shining,
AKB48 is an idol group named after the Akihabara area of Tokyo, which is actually the huge gaming and animation area of Tokyo. It's full of anime stores and gaming centers, and it's actually really cool and super lit up, and there's like girls on the street handing you coupons for maid cafes. It's a very interesting place.
Now, is that the same neighborhood with the giant crosswalk?
No, that's Shibuya.
Oh, dang it.
Well, it's okay. Every crosswalk in Japan is huge. Just Shibuya's happens to be much bigger.
Gotcha. Now, within a year, the group added more members through other audition processes and signed with their first label. And there are currently over 100 members of AKB48.
So it's no longer 48, even though that's a huge number.
Aren't there like even bands within the band?
Yeah, lots of idol groups do this thing called subgroups, where they'll have like 3 or 4 or 5 members of the idol group as a whole branch off and like create their own music separately. And it's dope.
That's real. It's a great idea. It's like a self-sustaining
like ecosystem.
Like you can be a fan of AKB48 and then be also a fan of like 15 different other bands. It's inception. It's an inception of the highest. It's insane. I cannot get over the amount of just like people in the group and different like groups within the group.
It's an amazing business practice, I definitely have to say, because they're all just getting that money.
Yeah. Don't they have their own theater?
I think so. Yeah, actually.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. The music video for this song has 3,800 extras for an on-screen dance performance.
Holy.
3,800. There's not even 3,800 people in the town that I grew up in.
Oh my.
It's so amazing how the influence of this one group.
I'm telling you, man, they're insane. They've been around forever.
Now, idol-esque groups like Babymetal and Tokyo Girl Style avoided the term idol due to AKB48's specific idol image and the scene that they didn't want to be associated with.
Fair enough.
The 2010s held an interest in raw youthfulness, a sharp change from the innocent and playful youth themes of the 2000s. Music interests focused more on sadness, euphoria, and confusion of youth that can sometimes be found in idol groups like AKB48.
And indie and rock music also had a hold on capturing youthful emotions in the 2010s. During this time, there was a rise in these artists connecting with listeners and trending in music outlets due to their popularity, especially online popularity.
With this rise, we see artists like Wednesday Campanella, Kinchi Yonezu, and Sekai no Owari becoming more mainstream. Thrown into the mix, we have an electronic indie artist, a Vocaloid and singer-songwriter artist, and a Japanese pop band. This is basically how the 2010s were for what is considered alternative music, or music that isn't strictly pop.
It's also just the music of the future. Have you ever watched a Hatsune Miku concert? It's madness.
I saw her on David Letterman.
I didn't know that happened.
It's one of the best things you can YouTube as you watch David Letterman slowly try to comprehend what is going on.
Oh, God. Well, that's anyone if you introduce them to Vocaloid. They're like, why does she sound like...
It's amazing. It was a big thing in America for a while. Like, Japanese Vocaloid artist performs on David Letterman, and she, like, answers questions from him, and he's like... He's like, okay, well, hi.
Hello, hologram, please don't hurt me.
Welcome to America, hologram. Yes, it's very entertaining.
Is this the plot of Detroit Become Human?
It was kind of like watching a mini Black Mirror episode.
Oh my God. And to round out our list, we have our indie song for today, Gesu no Kiwami Otome with Otonachiku from 2015.
だって正解。 われたよりは無理にだって叫びたい。子供だって笑われたって自分の声を知りたい。
賢くなる必要なら僕の昔に置いてきた走り出そうとした時からしょい込んだ
This band formed in 2012, officially debuting with Space Shower Records in 2013. I love the names of all these record companies. After signing with Warner's label, Unbored, and working with them for a while, the band joined Taco Records in 2018. Oh. Taco God. Records was founded by the band's singer and guitarist, Inan Kawatani, who is also the frontman for Indigo La Inde. This wow. I discovered this band on an episode of Japan Top 10, and I love their kind of jazzy, but also kind of like energetic style of indie rock. There's no real distortion on the guitar. The bass is front and center.
Yeah.
The female drummer, I don't know her name, she's just killing it. And there's a piano player. It reminds me of like a way more accessible version of Midori.
Mm, oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got that great jazz, but it's got like a punk kind of feel to it, but it's also super catchy and listenable. It's super, super good.
Oh, 100%. It's just the vibe.
Yeah, exactly. That's the best way to describe it, is this band has such an amazing vibe. So in some ways, the rise of alternative music is in reaction to the oversaturation of idol music that we see in the early 2010s.
Completely understandable once you hear, you know, the same cutesy idol stuff over and over again. Either the idol group has to change or a new contender needs to come on the scene.
Yeah, I think that's a real common music industry practice, is when something's big, you try to do the same thing but better, and try to just, everyone's trying to get up on the same bandwagon.
For sure. Gesu no Kiwami Otome joins the battle.
Over the course of the rest of this decade, the popularity of youth groups changed to make room for newer acts like international artists.
Which is a great trend to see in Japan, because usually it's either Japanese music or nothing.
Yeah. Hopefully this kind of musical exchange can continue with more I mean, I'm not really on social media, but with more social media and an exchange of ideas and music can keep going and keep being, hopefully we can continue to see a more positive and more progressive exchange of ideas across the world of musical styles and the way we approach the art and craft of creating songs.
Of course, music is one of the only languages that you don't need to speak any certain language to understand what someone's trying to say.
And that is a perfect way to end this episode.
Yes, indeed. We just have a few more announcements and then we'll wrap it up.
Do you want to advertise on our podcast? Market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts. Reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp or email our sales manager, Amanda, at amanda@jtop10.jp to find out an advertising plan that will suit your company's needs.
And don't forget to fill out our annual listener survey at jtop10.jp/survey for a chance to receive a free $50 Costco cash card or $50 Amazon gift card.
Stay tuned for Ethel's next Artist of the Month episode, which will be released in the coming days. My name is Eric.
And I'm Erin.
And thank you so much for spending this time with us as we delved into the world that was the music industry of the 2010s. Listen to us on Spotify, on iTunes, on Stitcher, anywhere you can find podcasts. Hey, we're probably there. And we will see you next time on Japan Top 10.
Bye, and we'll see you next time.
Japan Top 10, the number one Japanese music podcast.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.